Shavua Tov, world. Today's daf in the Sechet Menachot brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh is daf Samach Tet. But we're holding a little bit before, I believe. Yeah. We actually had only gotten up to Samach Samad Beis at the two dots. So we had a long daf Erev Shabbos, and we left off at the beginning of a series of questions that Roni Bar Chama raises. So now the question is, we know that before the Shtei Alechem, you cannot bring any kind of korbanos. So this includes not, and we're going to see later on, we've spoken about it before, this includes not only the korbanos of Menaches, because we need to have our Mincha Chadasha and our Yom HaBikuri Mincha, which is, of course, the Shtei Alechem. But also, we're going to see that in order to be matir any of the Chadash, including the Bikurim, which is mentioned together with that Yom HaBikurim, so you would need to bring the Shtei Alechem. So now the question is like this. Boy Rami Bar Chama, can we, after having determined that we need to have both the Omer and the Shtei Alechem in order to be matir, do the Shtei Alechem and the Omer have to be in order, or could they be out of order? Shtei Alechem ma'u sheyatiru shelo kisidran. So let's say the Shtei Alechem is brought before the Omer. How could such a thing happen? Very simple. Let's say that the grain was planted between the time that you brought the Omer, which means that the Omer was not matirit because the Omer wasn't in existence at the time that you brought the Omer. It was a late planting, and you just planted it now, and therefore it only gets the Shtei Alechem. Now we know if it only gets the Shtei Alechem is not going to be matirit that we were under on yesterday. But how about when next year's Omer comes, does it at that point become completely mutter? That's the question. So since it had the Shtei Alechem, and then after the Shtei Alechem comes the next year's Omer, so then you have both Shtei Alechem and the Omer. What's the din? Is it Dafka Kesidron? So let me read it inside. So you planted this new grain between the Akravas HaOmer and the Shtei Alechem, so it never had the heter of the Shtei Alechem. Now you bring the Shtei Alechem, and then next year you bring the Omer as it comes. So now the question is, do we have to wait in order to bring the next Shtei Alechem, or can we already start using this because it had both the Shtei Alechem and the Omer? So what's the halach? My Dafka Kisidran, Sharyan Shlo Kisidran, no Sharyan, does the two dinim of Chodesh, one with the Omer, which is Matir Chodesh B'Medina, and one with the Shtei Alechem, which is Matir for the Beis HaMikdash, do they have to be in that order, or does it not really matter? All that we need is that we should have both Heterim of Chodesh, and at that point, you'd be allowed to use them in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, it would be mutter, even if it's not in the right order. Omar Rabbah, I have a brilliant answer to this, because it says, beferish in the Pasuk, ve'im takriv minchat bikurim. Now, what is, take a look at this braita, right? What is the minchat bikurim? The minchat bikurim, we know, is a reference to the minchat ha'omer. Because that's when all of the tefillah first begins to ripen. And where do you bring the Minchas HaOmer from? From which of the tefillah? Because it doesn't say. It says, though, it has to be brought min ha-Sa'orim. You say, ata Omer min ha-Sa'orim. All the time it keeps saying, bring the Omer min ha-Sa'orim. Maybe you could even bring it from the Chitim. It never uses the word Sa'orim when we're talking about the Minchas HaOmer. Well, Reb Eliezer Omer, it does call it Aviv, right? And since it refers to the Omer, Im Takriv Minchat Bikurim, Aviv Kalui Ba'esh Geres Karmel, so then that Aviv we know has to mean Sa'orim. How do we know that? Well, take a look in Mitzrayim. So what happened over there in Mitzrayim? After the Barat came and destroyed everything. So it says, Vahapishta Vahaseora Nukata Ki Haseora Aviv. Oh, so you see that the word Aviv is used specifically on Seora over there, and therefore it was going to be affected by the hail. So since the Aviv there in Mitzrayim is clearly a reference, it says Beferish Seora Aviv, so too the Aviv here has got to be a reference to the Omer. So Ne'emar Aviv b'Mitzrayim, v'ne'emar Aviv l'dorot, ma Aviv amur b'Mitzrayim Seorin, af Aviv amur l'dorot, has got to be referring to Seorin in terms of the Omer. Rabbi Akiva Omer, and so far this doesn't have anything to do with our Shaiva, but we're getting closer. Rabbi Akiva says, look, the truth is that a yochid is mevi chovat. Here the Girsaot got very messed up. Basically, the message is, before we read whatever, there's different suggestions as to what the correct Girsa is, but basically what the Gemara is saying is that if a yochid brings karbanis, both from a karban chayva, we know from chitim, because we have a mincha that has to be brought for Minchas Chayte, which we learned to this laning, for somebody who's the Dali Dalos, and we know that he brings also Chovaso Menasa Orion, that we'll learn in the Parsha of Saita, and we know that a Tzibur also brings a Chayva from Chitim, and we assume that across the board, the Chova and the Nedava that we bring, if we have a chayva that matches in yochid, both the barley and the wheat, then in the tzibor we should have the same type of matchup. So we know that the tzibor does bring a chayva michitim. It must be that somewhere or other they should be mevin chova from saori. But where? We don't really know a place where it says it, beferish, do we? Okay, so we could read the Girsa like this. Matzino yachid shemevi chovato min achitim. This is one of the approaches to the Shita as the Girsa. Matzino yachid shemevi chovato min achitim. V'chovato min haseorin. V'tzibur mevi chovato min achitim. So just like yachid mevi chovato min achitim v'chovato min haseorin, av tzibur should be mevi chovato min achitim. It's probably that it's going to be Chovato min Haseorin, but where? Where is that place? Because the only place that we could possibly be referring to that we don't have a concrete definition in the Pasuk is the Omer, where it doesn't say what type of grain to use. And if you're going to tell me, Imata Omer, that the Omer is from the Chitim, so then that means there is no Karban Chayva that is brought from the Seorin by the Tzibur. And therefore, it must be that we should fill in the blank, which is the Omer, should be brought min haseorim. So far, has nothing to do with our sugya. Here is where it gets interesting. Says Rabbi Akiva, I have another thought. Dover Acher, I'll bring you another raya, that the Omer cannot be chitim. Because if the Omer is chitim, so then how would the Shtei HaLechem possibly be called Bikurim? Because the whole day that we bring the Shtei HaLechem is B'yom HaBikurim, right? And the B'yom HaBikurim is because of this new carbon, because the Torah says, B'yom HaBikurim, Bakrivchem, Mincha, Chadasha, LaHashem, B'Shvuotechem. Okay, so we're giving the whole name to the Chag based on the fact that you're bringing the first Mincha you're going to be bringing on this day, the Mincha Chadasha. Now, if you tell me that the Omer is chitim, so then in what way is the Shtei HaLechem Bikurim? We already brought a carbon from the chitim from this year, and therefore there's no reason at all to have called it a Mincha Chadasha and to say that it's coming dafka from the new grain. It's not true. We already, 50 days ago, we were already makriv exactly the same grain for a carbon. So the only way to explain the Yom HaBikurim, as the Mincha Chadasha, is to say that the Omer was not brought from Chitim. Makes a lot of sense, right? Now, here's where it's really fascinating, because of its implications for Rami Bar Choma. I'll tell you why. Because the point is that Rabbi Akiva would not make sense if you could even be matir shelo kesidron. Remember, this is what we're coming to discover. Rami Bachama wants to know, does it have to be Omer and Shtei Alechem in that order, or can it just be Shtei Alechem and Omer? So let's imagine a situation like this. If you're going to tell me that it really doesn't matter what order it's in, so then I can show you that you could call the Mincha Chadasha on Yom HaBikurim, which is the Yom, the Hakrava of the Shtei Halechem, it would still be a Mincha Chadasha. How could that be? Very simple. Imagine a situation like this. Mashkach Hasva, you went ahead and you were makriv the Omer from the regular planting that was actually Kodem L'Shtei Halechem, U'Baser HaOmer De'Eshtakat. So what happened over here was that you planted twice in the year before. That's what happened. So what you did was you planted some of the wheat that took root between the Omer and the Shtei Alechem. So let's say you planted it in Iyar, and then you planted again in the summertime. You planted again in Tammuz. You've got more wheat. So listen, here's what happens. The first wheat that you planted was not niter from the Omer because it was planted after the Omer. You planted it in Iyar, which is between Pesach and Shavuos, right? So when the Shtei Alechem came around with that wheat, it was half mutter. Didn't have the Omer taken from it, but it had the Shtei Alechem taken from it. Now, the next year, the Omer that you bring, when you bring that grain for the Omer, it now becomes completely mutter, right? Because Shelo Kesidron is matir. But the grain that you planted after Shavuos, in the month after Shavuos, you planted it in Tammuz, right? And Shavuos was in Sivan. So now you planted a month after Shavuos, new grain, fine. That new grain is growing normally, and it's got to wait for the Omer and the Shtei Alechem in that order, because it's going to be around by the next Shtei Alechem, by the next Omer. But what you do is when you came to that Omer, you utilize the grain that had grown between Pesach and Shavuos. You took that grain, you brought it for the Omer, and that became completely mutter. Now you've got this other grain. And this other grain, the problem with this other grain, is that it still requires the Shtei Halechem, because it was not present in the previous year's heter of both the Omer and Shtei Halechem. It was planted after the Shtei Halechem. So you basically have grain that was across the entire year. Some of it had been nitar by the previous year's Shtei Halechem and this year's Omer, but that was the end of it. That was completely mutter. The other grain that had missed out on the Omer, on the Shtei Halechem, and was planted after the Omer too, so now it's in the normal order. You use that grain. Now, is that grain mutter? Was the Omer mater it? Yeah. But did the Omer come from it? No. So now when I bring that grain with this year's Shtei Halechem, it's the first of the grain that needed this Shtei Halechem to be mutter that I ever brought. And if I hadn't brought the Shtei Halechem, I wouldn't be able to use this because it didn't have a Shtei Halechem to be matir it. And therefore, I would still call it the Yom HaBikurim for the Mincha Chadasha. Amazing, right? Shall I go over that again, or was it clear? Clear? Do it again. Okay. The issue over here is that we are introducing a new factor that we never thought of before. And the truth is, this is a brand new concept that we hadn't thought of in terms of Rami Bar Choma's question, but we're now suggesting that it's a very interesting way of looking at the Rabbi Akiva Raya. So let's start at the beginning. Rabbi Akiva says, there's no way that you can bring an Omer from Chitim, because if you brought the Omer from Chitim, why would the Torah possibly call the Shtei Halechem the brand new grain? It's not the brand new grain. It's basically the same grain that you brought the Omer from. And the Omer, if it's from Chitim, is already the first chitin that you're bringing, right? And therefore the shtei alechem would not be called the bikurim. That's what we're assuming. But if I can give you a reason why the grain that's being brought for this year's shtei alechem would be needing that shtei alechem in order to be brought into the mizbeach, and it was already past the omer, so I can, if I'll be able to explain to you how it's possible that grain that already passed the omer would not be considered to be the same grain that you're bringing in the shtei alechem. So then, do we have a solution? Yes, because this grain is mutter, even though it wasn't the grain that was the first grain of this year. It was mutter because of the omer of this year, but it's the first grain that is coming that needed the shtei alechem this year. That's the chiddush. So if I split up the year's crops, let's say that what I do is I grow some, this is talking about the year before, let's split up last year's crops. Some of the chitim of that year, remember, there's no zorim. Everything is going to be, we're assuming we're going to bring everything from chitim. So I plant the chitim that year late, and it was not planted by the time that we brought the omer. So what happens? The shtei alechem passes by. Is it mutter to use now? No, because it needs both the omer and the shtei alechem. When will it become mutter? After I bring the next year's omer. So then I have chitim that first had a shtei alechem and then had an omer. Now let's assume that Rami Bar Choma saw to say that it doesn't matter what order it's brought in, it's still going to be mutter. Okay, so we've got, at the time of the omer of this year, the grain that was planted after the omer of last year is now used for the omer of the second year, and now you can bring it for everything because it had both the shtei alechem and the omer. So far, so good. Are we on the same page, gentlemen? Because we're going to answer Menachemel. I need to know if so far, so good. How can I know if so far, so good if you close your eyes? I have no way of knowing. You could wink, or you could put a thumbs up, and we're going to see in tomorrow's daf where thumbs up actually come from in the Torah. So it would be a perfect time to put a thumbs up, assuming that it is a thumbs up.
So how can we concentrate on Rebbe when we see Ari's daughter? How are we supposed to concentrate?
It's not a daughter. That's your problem. It's a Tsuri boy.
That's Tsuri. I usually don't see it.
How am I supposed to concentrate when he keeps stealing my iPad?
That is something of a problem. Okay. So Naftali warned me. You know, he's the cutest kid. You can't let him on the screen. All right. So now I'm going to work out a way that that grain is not going to be brought for your shtei alechem. Here's the deal. I'm going to bring the omer in the second year from the grain that grew after the omer of the year before, but was already past the shtei alechem of the year before. So what happens? Any extant grain is going to be mutter because of this year's omer for hedyot. Now, when I come to bring the shtei alechem, I'm not going to use the same grain that I used for the omer, which had been planted the year before between Pesach and Shavuos. Oh, no. I'm going to use the grain that had been planted after last year's Shavuos, which means this is the first grain that is going to need that shtei alechem to become mutter, because it never had a shtei alechem. It was planted after last year's Shavuos. If that happens, then that means that the grain that I'm bringing for this shtei alechem is actually the first grain that needs the shtei alechem and that's being brought for the shtei alechem. And therefore, that gives me an excuse to call it the Yom HaBikurim of this Mincha Chadasha. So that if it would be true that Rami Bar Choma is correct, and we could arrange a situation like this, where the first grain that was brought from the Omer was grain that had already become mutter by last year's Shtei Alechem, then the grain that I'm bringing for this year's Shtei Alechem is the first grain that needed this year's Shtei Alechem. And it already had the Omer. Not that the Omer was brought from it, but the Omer doesn't need to be brought from it. The Omer just needs to be brought. Are we all together on this? And therefore, it cannot be that Romy Bar Choma's thought that maybe it could be even out of order. That can't be true, because it's clear that Rabbi Akiva didn't take that into consideration as a possibility for telling me that there would be a way to bring the Mincha Chadasha, even if the Omer was being brought from the Chitim. What do you say about that? Okay, there's my Raya. So let's just see that inside. You went ahead and you were makriv with the Omer from the stuff that had been Asher, so it took root before the last year's Shtei Alechem, but after the last year's Omer, and that's what you brought the Omer this year from. So now the Omer was matter completely. Then when you brought the Shtei Alechem, you brought the Shtei Alechem from your second planting of last year, which was in the summertime after Shavuos. It was in Tammuz, and it was a month after Shavuos. So it needs this year's Shtei Alechem. So you'll say, but how could it be mutter? It didn't have an Omer. Of course it had an Omer. I just didn't bring the Omer from it. But it had the Omer happen to it. Fine. So therefore, we've got an Omer from the Chitim, from the earlier planted Chitim, and we've got the Shtei Alechem from this year's first take on the Korban that absolutely was necessary to be the Mincha Chadasha, without which we wouldn't have been able to use this stuff, because this stuff never had the last year's Shtei Alechem, because it was planted a month after Shavuos. Beautiful. So you could have the same situation. And that would X Rabbi Akiva's second idea over here. The old, he said, no, it's not true, Rabbi Akiva. Take a look. We've got the opportunity to do it the way Romy Bar Choma said. Right? Wrong, says the Gemara. It's all based on an assumption. You are assuming that because this is the first chitim that need a Shtei Alechem in order to be mutter, so therefore that's how we look at it? That this is the Mincha Chadasha because they need the Shtei Alechem? It has nothing to do with these fruits. It has to do with the Mizbeach. Is this the first chitim of this year brought on the Mizbeach or not? Just answer me. No, it's not. Well, it's the first chitim that needed the Shtei Alechem, but that's not what defines the Mincha Chadasha. The Chadasha means it's Chadasha for the Mizbeach. That's the point. So Misa Varta Bikurim Lepeira, what do you think Bikurim means? That the first Peiros that we're bringing that needed the Shtei Alechem, we're talking about the first Peiros that the Mizbeach had this year. Are these the first Peiros? No. What are the first Peiros? The ones that were planted already, the same ones that you already had brought into Omer, because what separates them? Only thing that separates them is the fact that these need the Shtei Alechem and the other ones don't. So, that doesn't define Bikurim. It's the Mizbeach that defines Bikurim. So, the Mizbeach, Karmina, just answer me. Did the Mizbeach have these Peiros already? Yes. Okay, the Mizbeach, we paired the Hashata. The Mizbeach had the Peiros of this year. So that means by the time you bring the Shtei Alechem, this is nothing new for the Mizbeach. Oh, says the Mizbeach, this is nothing new. I just had a little bit of that a few months ago, right? So Mizbeach couldn't care less whether these Peiros need the Shtei Alechem or they only needed the Omer. What do I care? Tastes the same. And therefore the Mizbeach had that same taste. And therefore, even if the Shtei Alechem works not in order with the Omer, Rabbi Akiva's proof still stands. There's no way that I could call Shavuos the Myoma Bikurim and the Mincha Chadasha in the event that the Omer was also brought from Chitim. I'm going to hang when those Chitim were planted. Okay, beautiful. So that we're now left without really a Raya for Romy Bar Choma. Now, let's talk about Romy Bar Choma 2. Romy Bar Choma's got a lot of questions here. Let's talk about his next question. Shtei Alechem, what defines the peiros for the Shtei Alechem? Is it the Hanatzah? So let's say you get to the point of Hanatzah or you get to the point of Hanatah. Now these are two different stages. Normally, in terms of a fruit. That's what Hanatzah we usually talk about. So Hanatzah is like a fruit that's already, you could see the actual fruit. And the Hanatzah is just where the first blossoming. So it's an earlier stage. Says the Gemara, that doesn't make any sense. It's neither of the above. You know what's matter. What are you talking about? My Hanatzah, what are you talking about? You're talking about the Hanatzah of the Peres that you're coming to be matir? No, let's say the Peres of the Bikurim, right? So you want to know whether these are the Bikurim, these are the grapes of the new year, or these are the grapes that we're have to wait till next year. So that's what you're asking. But that makes no sense at all, because we happen to know that the Stealechem and the Omer are both Matir Hashrosha. All you need is to have rooting having taken place. I mean, there's no way that you'd have to wait for the Hanatzah if it took root and it's growing, so then it's already Mutter. If Hashrosha is Sharia, I mean, obviously, Hanatzah, Hanatzah, are you going to talk about that? If you were planting grain, all you needed was Hashrosha, and therefore, for sure, I mean, this is already a tree that is growing fully and so on. What is there to talk about? Ah, I'm not talking about the fruit. I'm talking about Hanatzah de Aleh, the Hanatzah de Aleh. My question is something else completely. There is no fruit. There's only, basically, the leaf that began growing. So there's no sign of a fruit yet. So now the question is the Hanatzah, the Hanatzah of the leaf itself, the equivalent of Hashrasha, of grain? That's the question. So do we say, Mihavi ki Hashrasha? So is a leaf's growth comparable in a tree to the grains taking root? Hello? That's my question. If it's not, so then the Bikurim wouldn't have been able to be brought from those Peres, because they're not yet ready. They weren't mutter by the time the Shtei Alechem came. And you'd have to find Bikurim from those that were already Chanuti. Teku, we don't have an answer to that. Now, I got another problem. This one is an interruption in Rami Bar Choma's list of questions, and this was asked by Rava Bar Rav Chana. What if you took wheat and you planted them in the ground? Does the Omer matir wheat that's in the ground or not? Huh? I understand. What are you talking about? It's a Beferish Mishnah. We just spoke about it. If the wheat took root already, Tanina. And if the wheat didn't take root already, also Tanina. That's the Mishnah we're going to get to tomorrow. What kind of weird question is that? Ditnan. The next Mishnah says, Imishrishu kodem la'omer. So if the grain took root, then the omer is matir. And if not, they have to wait till next year's omer. So I understand, what's Rava Bar Rav Chanan asking? It's a Beferish Mishnah, no? So obviously that's not what we're talking about. I mean, it's not crazy. Must be that the question is like this. Lo tzricha, we're not talking about things that were planted and that grew. We're talking about a case, the chatzdinu v'zarinu kodem la'omer. You went ahead and you actually harvested these particular grains before bringing the omer, and you planted them again before bringing the omer. And in that case, the omer was brought while these seeds were in the ground. So that's my question. They didn't take root yet, but they were in the ground. If it took root, so then obviously, then we would say that it's just like anything else that took root, but it didn't take root. It's basically just wheat that's sitting there in the ground and that was taken out before the Omer. So now the question is, I want to know, suppose I want to take out this wheat from the ground before it takes root, and I want to eat them. And I'm going to say, well, why can't I eat them since the omer was already brought? So here's the question. Do we see them as if the ground is just like a box? If you put the wheat in a box, you know, let's say it's a cereal box. Well, obviously, once you bring the omer, you can buy your Cheerios. I mean, what's the problem? you can buy your widina. So over here, they were in a box, you know? And therefore, Shavino Omer. Or do we say, no, wait a minute. If you put something in the ground, even if it hasn't taken root yet, and now the Omer's not going to be matur because they haven't taken root, but it's not in a box, it's in the ground. And it became bottle to the ground. And if it's bottle in the ground, how would the Omer be matur them unless they took root and they didn't take root? So maybe they would be bottle agabe ara. And I have a few areas in which this is a very relevant question. Because basically, this is a legal question about how I view grains that are in the ground that have not taken root. Are they considered to be part of the ground, or are they considered to be in a cereal box? So where would the differences be? So here's one difference, is the Omer Mater. There's another two obvious differences. One difference would be, remember that when you buy something that has a din of karka, there is no ona'a when it comes to karka. So the din that if you overcharge or undercharge by 1/6, that then you're able to get your money back. And if it's more than that, the whole deal is bottled. That does not apply to karka. We learned that out from the Pasuk in Bav Metzia, right? So now I want to know, are these grains part of the ground or are they just a cereal box? And then if they're a cereal box, so then there's going to be the standard dinim of overcharging on cereal boxes. If it's part of the ground, then I won't be able to sue if I was overcharged for what's in the ground. I got another question. The halacha is ein nishba'in ala karkaot. So if you got, let's say, a situation of meida b'miktzas, and it involves property, there's no din of taking a shvua. Is this part of the ground, or is this actually like a cereal box? Now, to define the precise case is going to take us a couple of minutes, and the Gemara will explain the cases exactly, but you get the idea. We're just looking at one essential question. Is being in the ground the equivalent of actually being attached to the ground, that it's bottled to the ground, or is being in the ground just being the equivalent of being in a container? That's the question. So here's my next question. First of all, is the Omer Mater. Secondly, Yesh lehem ona'a or ein lehem ona'a. Well, wait a minute, what's the case? I mean, if the case would be that, let's say, you know, the seller says, look, I'm selling you this field and I just planted it. I put in six core. Let's say, right? I put in 6 core of these grains, and I'm selling you this field that has that amount of grain that's gonna sprout. You're gonna get yourself a beautiful crop. It turns out that witnesses show up and they say, this guy never put in 6, he only put in 5. So that would be cheating by 1/6. And now your question is, well, is it cheating karka or is it cheating metaltolin? Wrong. That can't be the case. You know why? Because the din that there's no ona on metaltolin, on karkot, I mean, is because the value of karka is something that is highly variable, and there's no such thing as saying, what do you mean this wasn't worth it? What do you mean it wasn't worth it? You wanted this piece of property. I was not interested in selling it for less. I don't know what your cheshbon is. Maybe you've got some treasure hidden here or something. It's none of my business. Point is, you wanted the property, you paid for the property. Well, I understand what we're arguing about. You know, it's all location, location, location. So, okay. But in this case, there's nothing to do with location. 5 is not 6. I mean, it's simply measurable. And therefore, we know that, as Rava pointed out, look, if we're talking about cheating in karka, something that has to do with straightforward measurement. So you can either measure the mida, you can measure the weight, you can measure the number. I mean, that's what we're talking about over here. How much seed did you put in? That's a simple question of not location, location. That's a simple question of amounts. It's measurable. And therefore, there's no din bechlal of ona, 1/5, 1/6. Look, we made a deal. Did you keep to the deal? No. It's exactly measurable. Yes. Thank you very much. Give me my money back. And then it has nothing to do with karka. The whole deal is bottle. You simply didn't do what you said you were going to do. You didn't perform. There's no din of there's no din of ayna of 1/6 or anything like that. There's just not a sale. And that's true when it comes to karka too. So then I feel a pachot bichleona. There's no din of 6 or 5. That can't be the case. Okay. So tell me what the case would be. Well, I'll tell you. The guy selling it says, listen, I know this field very well. I'm telling you, I put the most effective amount of seed in here for it to give you the most efficient use of the ground for the crop. Witnesses come along, expert witnesses come along, and they say, no, it was not enough. Okay. I mean, that's not something that's measurable. I mean, that's a question of, is it enough or is it not enough? So now the question is, if you're talking about a value issue, so then if it's metaltolin, you get your experts and they give you an expert opinion and you go according to the Rove and you decide whether it was cheating or not. But that doesn't apply to Karka because this is a, there's too many variables. Is it exactly? So there's no way to exactly measure what is appropriate. I mean, what is appropriate? I mean, you can ask a lot of different people. You get a lot of different solutions. So in that case, it would make a tremendous difference. If you're talking about Karka, there would be no Dinavana. If you're talking about a cereal box, so then, yes, we can get an expert opinion about what the correct price on this cereal box should be. So that's the case. The Amalei, the guy says to him, look, I'm selling you this field that I've put in whatever is best for it. You know, you're going to get your full crop. Witnesses come along, go through Sahadeh, and say, no, that wasn't enough. Okay, so then it makes a tremendous difference because it's not directly measurable. My next question would be whether it would be considered to... let me just finish reading it inside. So I want to know, yesh lehem hona'a, because they're like a cereal box, and k'man t'shad yibachad adamya, or do we say things in the ground have a din of the ground? Therefore, there's no din of the ground. And here I have another issue that also is going to be affected by the same question. Do you take a shvua on them? Nishba'in aleihem or ein nishba'in aleihem? So if we view them, k'nishad yibachad adamya, do I say that they're like a cereal box? Then they're metaltolin. And on metaltolin, we're nishboyim. Or do we say that they're bottle legabe ara, and therefore la la karka? And then is a nishboyim alayim on karka ot. So I've got three different issues, all of which will be answered by the same answer. Problem is, we know what the answer is, so take it. So we have all of these three issues. We don't know the solution. Anyway, let's get back to Rami Bar Chama. And he had a couple of questions. So far, he's got a couple of questions to come. And we sort of pushed him off of the screen. That wasn't very nice. So let's get back to Rami Bar Chama. His first question was the question of whether it needed to be kisidran or not. And that was the first issue. And the next issue was the hanatsa of leaves on a tree, legabi being matir, the new fruit, with the... Okay, now let's get back to his next question. My next question is, boy Rami Bar Chama, here I want to know, you find wheat in animal droppings, and you find barley, there's a difference between wheat. Wheat is generally eaten with bakar, with cattle. And then you've got other type of livestock, horses and stuff like that, where you find seorim in the droppings of behema. That's why we make a difference. It's just a question of what the normal feed is of these animals. And I want to know what the din is. What the din is for what? I mean, it could be anything. I mean, I don't know. Are you talking about whether they're considered to be ktame, betumas eichlin or not? So you want to know whether droppings are still called foodstuffs if it hasn't been digested. You can actually find the pieces of wheat in it, or pieces of barley, right? Well, it says beferish in the Braita that chitim shebegelalei bakar useorim shebegelalei beima, if you were chishev aleim la'achila, all you did is you said, oh, you know, let's clean those off and use them for food. They're not going to be metame to mas eichlin just for thinking about them, because that's not enough to make something that is generally nobody's going to eat to make it into a food. It's not going to be yorid l'day to maso b'machshava. But if you actually go and you select them out of those droppings and wash them off, and now you're going to use them, then they would be metame to mas eichlin. Anyway, so that Rami Bar Chama is not asking about something that it says beferish in a braita. So maybe he wanted to know, can you use that type of grain for Korban Mincha. Are you nuts? Pshita, of course you can't. I mean, go ahead and hakuileon ala pechatecha. I could just imagine what four-letter words Trump is going to use if you bring him a gift of those kind of chitim and tzarim. No way. So therefore, you certainly are not allowed to use it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chas v'chalila. So, no, I'll tell you what we're talking about. The guy collects it, plants it, and now he wants to use the growth from it for a mincha. What's the din? So I want to know, we said, look, I mean, you can't use it for a mincha, but why? There's really two issues. If it's just a question of, that's disgusting. Well, I mean, if you planted it, and now 3 months later, you've got new complaint. I mean, that's not disgusting. I mean, nobody knows what the heck is going into the ground. I mean, you put it in the ground together with all kinds of fertilizer and everything. I mean, nobody says, ew, I'm not going to eat that new grain. It was fertilized. Get out of here. So basically, why would it be ma'us anymore now that it's grown? But if there's an additional issue, when we said akriveon ala pechatecha, it was not because only because it was disgusting. It's because it's low quality. Having passed through the digestive tract of these animals, it's certainly not feeling its Wheaties, is it? I mean, it's got to be in bad shape. And therefore, whatever grows from it is not going to be high quality. So if that's the problem, then hashtanami kechusha. If the problem is that it's kechishuta, it's also low quality, then even what grows is low quality. Okay, that I don't know the answer to that. And here is Rami Bar Chama, number 4 for the day. My question is like this. Moving on from cattle and livestock, what if you've got a pet elephant? Now, that elephant goes ahead and swallows a kfifa mitzris. Now, kfifa mitzris does not mean an Egyptian basket, as people keep translating it. It means a basket that's made out of meitzarim, that's made out of tzure dekel. So it's made out of palm tzurim. So that's palm fiber, you know, the stuff that grows on the palm. So now it swallowed this kfifa mitzris, and it goes straight through that peel and comes out the other end, and it doesn't seem to have been very affected by its trip through this peel's digestive system. It was too tough to digest. So it comes out the other end, and it looks exactly the same as it before.
It looks appealing.
Very good. Okay, right, so it's definitely not very appealing, but the question is, what's the halacha? Well, again, I mean, could you please explain legabe what? I mean, do you mean if it was tame when it was originally swallowed by the peel, and you want to know whether that takes off the tuma? I mean, that is a mission we had back in Kalim. Kol ha-kelim yordim lidei tumatam b'machshava. You can make them considered to be a kli. So let's say, for instance, classic case that we had. You have skins, right? And usually you're going to use the skins for making shoes. But you decide, oh, you know what? I need a cloth to make my picnic on the beach. So I'll take the skin and we'll turn it into a tablecloth. The halacha is, the moment that you decide to do that, it becomes a kli, and it's now mekabel tuma. And that's called yordim lidei tumatam b'machshava. But if it was tame already, and now you want to take off the tuma, and you've decided, you know what? Let's make shoes out of this tablecloth. No. If you actually do something and you cut it, and it's okay, then you can take off its tuma. But just thinking that you're going to do something with it doesn't remove the tuma of the kli, the shame kli, from it just by thinking about it now. So, eino limi tuma tamela b'shinui ma'aseh. You're going to have to make an actual physical difference in order for the tuma to be lost. Now, in this case, the peel did not make any difference. It looks the same as it did before. Nothing affected it, so what's Rami Bar Chama asking? I mean, everybody knows the Mishnah, and therefore it didn't lose its tuma. So what are you actually talking about? Rami Bar Chama wasn't talking about swallowing a basket. He was talking about where the elephant swallowed the hutzim. The elephant swallowed the fiber from the palm, right? And then somebody makes it into a kvifa mitzrit, using that those mitzarim, those mitzrit, so to speak, and turning it into a basket. And now the question is it still considered to be palm fiber, or is it considered to be clay gilalim? Is this basically a beautiful example of a kli that is made from animal droppings? Of those type of kelim are not makabel tuma that we also learned preferish. So miyavi eko, if it's considered to be digested, so then it's mamish the klal. It's keklei gilalim, it's keklei adama, the omar mar. I'm still looking for that thumbs up from my beloved Menachem El Sklar, who doesn't even hear that he's loved anymore. He's so fast asleep. Good heavens, Menachem El. Listen, my dear, I think Alon is the closest one to bop Menachem on the head, please. He's right there under you on the screen. Could you just give him a little plop on his head? Menachem. This is ridiculous. Okay. This is going back 50 years. Menachem, you said you're not going to do this anymore.
Rebbe used to have a little ringer thing that Rebbe would push with different sounds.
That's right. I did. I still have it. It doesn't work over Zoom. It's amazing. Zoom has a filter, and it doesn't go through the Zoom, bichlal. So I had all my wonderful sounds, and I'm sitting there thinking it's going to make... Nobody reacts. I'm thinking, why does anybody react? Menachem, I don't understand. 50 years to retrogress? This was like the thing that was never going to happen again after 50 years. All right, well, you've been pretty good. I got to hand it to you. All right, welcome home. So now... the question is, if these are klei avadim and klei gilalim, so then they're not going to be mekabel tuma. And that would be even midrabbanan, they're not going to be mekabel, lo midivrei Torah, velo midivrei sofrim. And therefore, if you call it to actually be equal, it's as if it were digested, so then it's no tuma at all. Or maybe it's not considered just because it passed through a digestive system. If it wasn't digested, it's not considered to be equal. That's our question. Well, don't we know the answer to that? This was the story of two wolves that ate up. Now this is unfortunately not Little Red Riding Hood. This is the real thing. So these two wolves ate up Little Red Riding Hood and her sister. Oh my God. So Maaseu Bal'u Ze'evim Shnei Tinokot Be'ever HaYarden. And they then excreted the remnants. And Bama Selef de Chachamim, what is the din about Tuma of Tumas Mace on those bodies? So they said the Basar of those children was Tahar. And that shows that if something passes through an animal's stomach, it's called no longer, it's called Basar. So same thing should be true about the Hutzin. No, come on. Basar is soft. Obviously, it's going to be digested, but fiber from a palm tree is tough. That's our question. Does that turn it into actually gilalim, or is it just doesn't make any difference?
Rebbe, the bones were metamic word.
Wait, please. Says the Gemara, v'liv shet misefa. Let's take a look at the end of that very same case. It says, they were metamei the basar, but they were metamei the atzamot. So apparently the atzamot are not considered to be digested because they're tough, and therefore the palm fiber should be the same. It's also tough. No, it's different because, I mean, bone is much harder than palm fiber, so you can't really bring a raya from that case. Now, boy, Rebbe Zera, I got another question. My question is, if it rains chitim, or it rains seorim, are those kosher for what? Lamai. You're talking about to bring a mincha? I mean, why not? Is it real mincha? I mean, if it's chitim, and it's kosher. If it's, why wouldn't it be kosher? If your question is, l'shtei halechem, so can I use wheat that rained down from the sky and use it for shtelach, what would be the din? Now, Rashi understands that the case is that there was obviously a tornado that picked up all of the stuff off of a boat that was carrying this for shipping, picked it up into the sky, and then lowered it when the tornado ran out. And it fell together with Dorothy right there in this beautiful field. Now the question is, can I use it for the shteilech? Why not? Well, because remember that it says beferish, mimosh votechem taviu lechem tnufa, shnayim shteyasonim, and so on. What does that mimosh votechem mean? Is mimosh votechem, does that just mean it's got to be something that grew in Eretz Yisrael? But it can't be that it grew in Chutz Laretz. So if we know that this stuff was all local, so just because it can drop down off of the clouds, that's not a problem. It's still called Rimosh Votechem. So the Ovim, the fact that it ran down from the clouds doesn't make it possible. Or maybe Mimosh Votechem means Dafka. You have to collect it from your Moshavot. And therefore, in this case, did you collect it from Moshavot? No. You collected it from the clouds. That's not called Mimosh Votechem Taviu. Maybe that's the point. That's how Rashi learns it. Tosfos doesn't like that shot because Tosfos says, I mean, then why wouldn't it just depend where it grew? If it grew in Chutz Laretz, it would be Pater. If it grew in Eretz Yisrael, it would be Chayiv. Who cares if it rained down from the clouds? That's just a question of transportation. Therefore, Tosfos learns, no, the question over here is, it rained down miraculously from the sky. And that's a question of whether, is that called Moshe Votechem, or it's just like a gift that comes from nowhere, so to speak, and therefore it's not Moshe Votechem. Okay. Rashi, he doesn't like Rashi's pshat because he said, why wouldn't we answer that it's just dependent on where it grew? But I mean, the truth is that Rashi is taking into consideration, assuming it is stuff that grew in his chayim, but the shayla is, you did not collect it, Mimosh Votechem, and that's part of the whole series of it, going out and finding it, and that was the story that we had in the Mishnah, and just to have it rain down, I mean, that is a nice way to maybe have a nice, as we'll see in a moment, to have a nice to give you a good parnasa, but why would it be negiah? Wait a minute. That kind of stuff actually happens? I mean, how come they didn't throw them out of the Beis HaMedrash? I mean, I never heard of such a thing. Umiika kahai gavna? Are there such things indeed in real life that we're going to raise it as an issue? Of course, a famous story of Adi Taya. You know, Adi? Well, you know, he was like a rich Arab. Anyway, Nechitele Run Kizba Chiti Betlata Parse. He had a full Kizba high over his entire field, which was like 3 Parse. Oh, you're talking about 12 kilometers long, and it was a full Kizba. Now, how much is a Kizba? So some say a Kizba is a tefach with a thumbs up. Now that's the way, instead of a regular tefach, that gives you the basis in the Torah for Apple's little thumbs up thing. It's obviously based on Menachas Samach Tet. Okay, so that happened to him, so it's a serious question. Another question. I know we're taking up a little bit of time, but now we can finish. I mean, I've thought we could finish up to the mission. Let's see how far we can go. My next question is like this. Let's imagine a case where you have a shibolet. A shibolet would be an actual ear of grain on the actual stalk, right? It grew to 1/3 its size, so now it's already considered to be, if it's 1/3, it's already considered to be food that's edible. Okay. You disconnected that from the ground. And then you did this before the Omer. You uprooted it from the ground before bringing the Omer. And then the Omer was brought. And then you planted again in the ground. And now it starts growing again. So what happened over here is, do we go according to the original plant and say, look, this plant was already mutter to eat because the Omer had been brought, and any additional size is just viewed as an increase in the heter that was there lechatchila. So ma, boter ikar azlina, in which case the omer was already mater, and who cares if there's extra growth? Or do we say, no, this is the same, essentially, as replanting, and this is new growth? Now you're going to have to wait till the next omer, next year, is brought, and then you'll be able to eat it. Well, we know the answer to that, don't we? Because we have a case where you had a orla tree that had fruit on it, and you grafted it onto an old trunk. So it was a yaldar shesipcha bizikina, and there were fruit on the tree when you made the graft. So the din over there is, even if it now became 200 times more than it was a tiny little bud at the time that you planted it, and now it's this gigantic, beautiful pomelo. So it's 1,000 times bigger than it was before. Normally the halacha is that orla is batel if it's 200 to 1. So over here, it's 500 to 1. It grew tremendously. I don't care how much it grew. Bottom line is, the new growth, which you would have thought, well, the new growth is coming from the new post-graft, and post-graft, it's not considered to be orla. It doesn't matter, because since the essential fruit, it was usher, because it was orla, all additional growth of that first tiny fruit is all considered to be going busser, the ikar of the fruit. So you see from there, that doesn't matter how much there is, you go according to the ikar. Same thing should be true over here. I got another case. Suppose you plant an onion in a keren. So butso shishitalo be keren. And now that became usher because it's kloya keren. Now you rip out the vineyard. So now it continues to grow. It's not growing anymore in a vineyard. Doesn't matter. I don't care if it's 200 times more, and this is the same shear, because both Orla and Kloya Kerem are bottle and 200 to 1. It's not going to become bottle. A few houses by time, it's usher, because you go according to that ikar, and that ikar was Kloya Kerem, and it doesn't lose its din of Kloya Kerem from its own growth. It's its own growth, so you go according to the ikar. So isn't that basically the answer to your question? You want to know if you planted this ear, the shibboleth, that are on, essentially, they are on the straw itself. What's the din? Well, we see here what the din is. You go according to what it was. If it was mutter, that's what you were saying. It was already, the omer was already matered, and now it's growing more. Can we just stick with that or not? So, you see from here, you go according to what it was. And you see that we follow the ikar. Nah, what do you think? We're stupid. We knew these cases. That was our question. When we paskin over here in these two cases, we paskin go according to the ikar. Was that because it's a chumrah and we didn't know? So we said, you know what? If the ikar is usher, we should be machmir. But that doesn't mean we're going to go to kula. In this case, you want to go to kula. You want to say, since the omer was matirid, so now whatever the growth is afterwards should be mutter. That doesn't follow, because maybe they were only being machmir. How do you know that this was a real psak? That was the question. Mivshat pshita leila rabbana? Do these two piskei halachas that we talked about from Rabbi Avo and Rabbi Yochanan, and that was that case of the orla, or from Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni and Rabbi Yonatan, which was the case of the onion, is that an absolute psak? In which case it would be even lakula? Or was it Dafka Achumra? Maybe both of them weren't sure. And they said it Lachumra, but that doesn't mean that they're going to say you can rely on it. In this case, Lakula, that since the grain was mutter because the Omer had been brought, so therefore any amount that it grows afterwards is going to be mutter. You're right. Take no answer to that one. Yeah, Baruch Hashem. Hinei El Yeshua, see if Tach Loefchat.